I'm welcoming you.
Welcome to Adore Talks.
Welcome to our third episode. I'm Amy.
I'm Cheyenne.
I'm Sky.
And I'm Christina. Welcome to our third episode, everybody. Woo!
Woohoo! Yay. So, Christina, what is our third episode about today?
All right. Our third episode is, since it was the last time was about family, I was thinking we could discuss something, some other things that we also love aside from our family, which is our pets.
Yes.
I love my pets.
Love is a very subjective term in this situation, but no, I love my cats.
I feel that, though. Love can be kind of a subjective term when it comes to pets, because sometimes you just want to, you know,
it's
relax.
It's a love-hate relationship.
Yeah, like, I love my dogs.
You love them, they hate you.
I hate my dog's hair. Like, Sky, you've probably never experienced this, but, like, dog hair in your bra is the worst feeling in the world.
Okay, let's move on with this.
Well, no, it's like, yeah, with dog hair and stuff like that, they're so thin. If it gets in your foot or something,
it stings
for like an
hour.
I never thought
that dog hair slivers were a thing, but they are. Like, I was babysitting last night, and this house had two dogs. They're the cutest dogs in the world. If you saw them on my Snapchat story, you saw them. But I had like pokies in my feet all night for like 6 hours. I was not a fan.
But I was thinking, like, since we have a love-hate relationship with our pets, I thought we could go around and like talk about what kind of pets we have, maybe share like a funny story or two about them. So, Amy, why don't you start?
I would love to start. Hi, I'm Amy. I have
Hi, Amy.
I have two dogs and a bearded dragon, as I mentioned on the last episode. So my two dogs, I have a chocolate lab. Her name is Serena. And I have a German Shepherd Husky cross. Her name is Zoe. She is an idiot. And then my bearded dragon, her name is Shark, even though my mother insists that her name is Millie. So, yeah, there's not too much. I mean, they do funny things all the time. I think one of the funnier things that my bearded dragon does is she has no real concept of, like, glass or edges. So if she's on the couch and she wants to be on the floor, I'm just going to walk off the couch. But she's tiny, and that's like a long distance to fall. And half the time we can never catch her because it's like, oh, and boom, the lizard's on the floor now.
She's crashed a lot.
Oh, my gosh. And like when we have the Christmas tree up, I don't know what she loves about it so much, but she loves to just jump right into the Christmas tree. And you guys have had Christmas trees before, I'm assuming. Like,
yeah,
they're not exactly flat, sturdy platforms to just jump into. So she'll jump into the tree, and then she'll like fall down a couple branches, and it's like boom, and then she falls in the presents. Like,
does she do this every year?
Oh my gosh, yeah. I've only had her for two Christmases now, but yeah, she loves the Christmas tree.
That's so funny. It's like she just doesn't learn, and it's like, maybe this year the tree will hold me.
I have a video where she like goes and she's trying to like reach out to grab the Christmas tree, and she grabs onto like one of the ribbons, and it's a ribbon, right? It can't hold anything, and so she grabs this ribbon and she like steps and just boom, like.
Now, do you use a real Christmas tree or a fake Christmas tree?
A fake Christmas tree. We tried a real Christmas tree 1 year, and it was just not happening.
Because my family uses a real Christmas tree every year, and our main thing is that our cat drinks out of the water.
Yeah, my dogs did that too when we had a real tree.
Yeah.
It's just like, get away from there. Like, you shouldn't be. It's like you have a fresh bowl of water in the kitchen, and you want to drink from the tree.
That's funny. Sky, tell us about your kitty.
Okay, my family has the longest history with cats of anybody in Manitoba. I'm absolutely certain of that. We have had a new cat for every, basically, 5 years of my life.
Wow.
But the one that we have now is Electra Pandora Jewel.
Yes, I was listening to the last one,
She currently, she's the most accident-prone kitty cat in the world. She has had stitches. She has been run over by cars at three different instances in her life.
Wow.
She is a resilient little cat.
That's
little
like
cat.
A mighty cat or something.
Yeah, she's talk about a lucky cat.
Yeah.
Yeah, basically. I'm pretty sure she's nearly on her last lives at this point. She has the most resilient personality, though, but she's also the most annoying thing that you've ever met in your life.
I mean, you guys know me, so I don't know. Is she more annoying than me?
Oh, trust me, you don't know her.
What exactly does she do?
Well, there's been various instances where she just leaps onto the tabletop on top of your homework.
Yeah, that's pretty typical.
Or she knocks over a vase onto your freshly finished homework.
Oh, yikes. So cats walking on people. Actually, I know what that's kind of like with the sense of dogs being annoying too, because like it sucks to say, but sometimes I don't love my dogs as much as everyone else loves their dogs. Like, I would be happy not having dogs and just having lizards, just because dogs are a lot of work, and yeah, they're very hairy, yeah, and they're so needy. Yeah.
That's why it's kind of nice to have a cat. Like, yeah. They're more independent and take less.
I'm definitely a cat person. But I can't have a cat because my stepmom and my brother are allergic to cats. And yeah, it's like, well, meanwhile, I'm allergic to my dogs. Like, every year around this time of year, the snow starts melting, and all of a sudden, I can't be around my dogs because I get hives. Yeah. But I mean, like, that's not a big deal, apparently.
Oof.
Still can't get a cat, even though I can't breathe around my dogs.
Brutal.
I can see the love-hate relationship with your dogs.
Yes. Yeah. Can you just see it, feel yes, it exuding I from my person?
I can feel it coming from here.
Just get all bearded dragons from here on end or
I
something like that.
I love bearded dragons, and honestly, they're so easy. Like, the special thing about bearded dragons is you don't have to feed them all the time. Like, it's not like a whole...
What do they
like,
eat?
So we started with crickets, but then we moved to worms because they're just easier and less creaky and jumpy.
Yeah.
And I do not like crickets. so she eats worms, but the thing is you don't have to feed her every day. You just feed her once, and then you wait for her to pass that food, and that can take anywhere up to, like, 2 weeks.
And that's crazy to me.
And you don't want to keep feeding her because she's going to get impacted if, you know, she can't go. So it's, like, not a lot of work, and they're cute. And she's never bit me. Actually, she bit me one time, but that was only because I dipped my finger in applesauce and, like, presented it to her. I'm not sure what I was thinking.
Putting food on your hand and presenting it to an animal that's hungry is usually not a very good plan.
Right. I was, well, because, like, if I just normally, like, dip a little bit, she'll lick it off my finger. And I was like, oh, I'll, like, make it easier and she'll just be able to lick for longer. And I just dumped my whole finger in applesauce and she tried to put my finger in her mouth. And it didn't even hurt because she doesn't actually have teeth. They just have, like, bone plates. So
that's interesting.
You just snap on top of you. Yeah.
But like her jaw is not strong at all. Like, honestly, it felt like someone grabbing my finger. I was like, oh, hi. That's not food.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Let go.
My finger. If you could stop, that'd be great. Thanks.
So Cheyenne, what about your pet related stories?
Okay. So I'm a cat person.
It appears nearly all of us are cat people.
They're great. I don't have any pets personally at my house, but at my parents' house, there are three cats and a dog. And we've sort of gone with, like, a liquor theme for the names of the cats.
I love it.
Yeah. So one of them is Kahlua. The other one is Daiquiri. And then the third one is Jack Daniels.
Oh, my God. Aww.
That's so cute.
That's incredible.
So it's super awesome. Yeah. They're
the next one's
super
gonna be,
adorable.
Next one's going to be Bourbon. And the next one's going to be, I don't know, Captain Morgan.
Yeah. So, that's cool. My cat, though, is Jack Daniels. He's the cutest little thing ever.
What type of cat is he?
He's a gray tabby.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, I love Tammy.
It's kind of a cool story because my parents' friends owned Fun Mountain for a little while. Ooh. And they said that someone had just dropped off this cat randomly and this cat was just like living on the Fun Mountain grounds. This was like in the springtime, so before it was open. Mm-hmm. And it was just like super skinny and like didn't have a home kind of thing. And then they had told my parents about it, so then we went there and we were just like, oh my God, I need to have him. And that's where he came from.
Yeah, it was kind of the same thing. Like Zoe, my shepherd husky, she's a rescue too.
Yeah.
And we have a small house already, so between like four people living in a house with like three bedrooms and one bathroom and a big dog already, because Labs are a big dog.
Yeah.
That's not a lot of space, but then we saw on the Manitoba German Shepherd Rescue page or something, we saw this picture of her, and her name was Annie at the time, and she was just so little and frail, and she was rescued from somewhere up north, a reserve, and she was only 1 year old, and she already was, like, pregnant with puppies.
Oh, wow.
Aww.
And she had mange, and she was big belly, but you could see her ribs. Like,
oh, God.
It was, like,
aww, she poor
was,
girl.
She was so, so sick and frail, and my dad just saw her, and he was like, we need her.
Yeah.
We need her right away. He was, like, the first person to contact them, and he's like, we'll take her. Like, we need her. Aww. And she's such a sweet little love bug now. Yeah. Oh my gosh! I remember she used to come upstairs into my room and sleep every night there. I have to stop to breathe. Oh my gosh! she would come and she would sleep in my room every night, and she doesn't do that anymore because she's less kind of cuddly now. Yeah. But she's getting better, and she's so fluffy now. She doesn't even look like the same dog. But yeah,
cute.
Aww, that's rescues, so cute. Rescues yeah. break yeah. my heart and fill them at the same time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. All my dogs are rescues, yeah. and my cockatiel is a rescue as well.
Tell us about your dogs.
Okay, my dogs. Well, I've talked about them before. So I have Toby, a Basset Hound Beagle cross. I have Pumpkin, a Shih Tzu Terrier cross, and we have Kingston, who's a little Yorkie. And then of course I have my cockatiel Pit. Toby was actually, do you guys remember like a couple years ago when there was like, a puppy mill in Manitoba that got shut down and someone was arrested?
So.
Yeah. Well, Toby was a rescue from there. They had like, they seized like a bunch of, Basset Hound puppies and everything. And he was one of them. Mm. And funny thing is, he was actually a grad gift, to my sister from her boyfriend.
Oh. Uh-huh.
And, but the funny thing is like, but it was so sad because, he had never seen grass before until she adopted him.
Oh, wow. That's sad.
Yeah. And, but he was like, he was so cute because he's so little. His ears are so big. He would trip on them when he would run. And Stacy was still living at home at the time, and she like intended when she moved out that she would take Toby with her. Mm-hmm. And but he fell in love with my dad. So, and like my dad is his person. So he my sister was like, I can't take him away from dad. Yeah. But yeah, he's so cute, very food obsessed.
Yes.
I actually have a funny story about that, but if you don't mind me talking for longer.
Go right ahead. We have an hour to fill all about right. stuff with our pets.
All right. So there was one Christmas 1 year, and like, again, Toby is like so food obsessed. Like he'll literally eat anything. And it was Christmas. My mom was doing a bunch of baking, and she had baked about 24 gingerbread cookies, and she had stuck them in a container. And we were going to ice them later. And she had put them on our counter way at the back and everything. And she's like, yeah, they'll be fine and everything. Like, she was a little worried about Toby getting into them. She's like, oh, it'll be fine. Like, no problem. A couple hours later, my sisters came home. And he had somehow got up onto the counter, opened the container, and ate 24 gingerbread cookies.
Oh, my goodness.
He was lying on the floor just like, this is the best day of my life.
That's like, I feel that like Christmas and dogs never mix well with when it comes to food. Like I remember, so I have out of town grandparents and stuff, and obviously like they send in our presents, and they never tell us if it's food. Now they tell us because we had quite the incident. So my stepmom, she loves chocolate-covered raisins.
Mm-hmm.
And so my great-grandma had gotten her just a present of chocolate-covered raisins. And, like, chocolate and raisins are terrible for dogs.
Yeah.
And Serena, she had, I guess, sniffed it out. And while we were gone, she opened that present and ate all the chocolate-covered raisins.
Oh,
it gets so much better. And then she went and she sniffed out the box of chocolates that my grandma got for my dad. And she ate the entire box of chocolates along with that. So chocolate-covered raisins, a box of chocolates. And then in that box of chocolates, there was a check for $100, which she ate half of.
Why are dogs... Okay, I love dogs, but why are they so dumb that they would eat something that is poisonous?
Well, they don't know it's poisonous. They're just like, oh my God, this is the best thing I've ever tasted in my life.
Sugar,
funny
sugar.
Thing with Toby, like, eating the gingerbread cookies, he still begged for dinner. He's still like, he was bugging my sisters for food, and my sisters were like, you gotta be kidding me.
I don't understand. They're always hungry. Pets are always hungry. Yeah, like, my dogs, we are so bad. Like, you're not supposed to feed them from the table, but they just look at you and they're so cute.
Oh, my dad is so bad for that.
Oh my god, mine too. And like, so the vet told us, like, Zoe, she is gaining, she's not overweight, but she's a German Shepherd and they always have problems with their hips. So the vet wants her to just lose a couple pounds. And my dad, we were good for a week. We were good for a week of not giving her any people food. And now my dad is just like, oh, but look how cute she is. Here, have this, like, drumstick. And I'm like, you can't. She's fat. You can't do that.
Well, it's like, with my dad, it's like, we don't exactly, the vet hasn't really given us dietary restrictions on our dogs. We just have to, like, just feed them the correct amount. But it's like, my, like, at dinner time, they'll be sitting around, like, in a circle around my dad. Yeah. And, like, my dad,
because they know.
Yeah,
they
exactly.
Know, they know who the weak link is.
I know. And he's, like, he's eating dinner and he's just breaking pieces off and giving it to the dogs
is
and everything.
Is that just a dad thing? I think the same thing
but,
as my dad.
But the funny thing is, my dad gets mad and he's like, oh, I don't see why these dogs get on my lap all the time. And it's like, well, what do you think? You're feeding them.
Yeah.
No, my dad's too polite about that. Like, we don't actually feed our cat very often, like, compared to everybody else. We actually try to give her, like, dietary limitations, like, only small portions of food, about three times a day or something like that. Sometimes we indulge her, but that's by accident.
Yeah.
But my dad is always the worst at the dinner table, only because when he's done eating, he likes having Pandora on his lap. Just yeah, and it pisses my mother off so much. Yeah. Like, I barely notice it, but she gets up in his face sometimes about it.
Yeah, I saw a video recently on Facebook about, like, this guy, he was eating a burger from McDonald's, and this cat just wouldn't, like, back down. It just, like, felt so entitled to this food, and that always bothers me so much when people don't, like, train their pets the right way. Like, we had Serena trained really well, and then we got Zoe, and she was not trained really well, and they just kind of evened each other out. Like, the really trained dog gave some training, and then the super laid-back dog just rubbed off on Serena. But I can't stand when people don't train their pets.
Yeah.
Like, I have a friend who just got a puppy, and you have to kennel train a puppy. Right?
Yeah,
like,
of course, otherwise they'll pee all over the house.
Right, you have to, like, put it in the kennel at night and let it cry and do its thing, and it'll be fine. Like, it's not going to die. And she put on her Snapchat story the other day, she's like, do I need to kennel train my dog? He cries all the time, and I can't stand how he sounds when he's so sad, so he sleeps with me now. And I'm like, what?
Yeah, that's exactly like one of my friends.
Her dog
too.
Is the size of a taco right now. It's so impressionable.
Well, I admit, our dogs are partially kennel trained, but they mostly sleep with us.
Well, yeah,
but like,
they're older now, right? They're not puppies.
No, they're not. But yeah, like, Toby is 9, Pumpkin is around 6, and Kingston is 7. But it's like, when Stacy had got Toby, she tried kennel training him, and my dad was getting so fed up because he was crying so much that my dad just took him out of the kennel and put him on his bed, and Toby slept there ever since.
Yeah, that's like, I have a cousin too who she's so bad. I could talk about her for a while, but she gets these pets and she loves them when they're puppies. And then when they're not puppies, and she hasn't trained them when they were puppies, she just enjoyed them being a cute little puppy, and then they're not a puppy anymore, and she's like, okay, I don't want you anymore, I'll just give you away.
That is so frustrating to me. Yeah. It's like, if you're going to get an animal, you need to make a commitment.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because you can't just, like, keep them until they stop being cute.
Yeah. Which is never, by the way. My lab is 10 years old, and she is cute still. She is still my puppy, no.
Well, that's why, like, I've noticed lately a bunch of pet stores have been putting out signs now that saying that they won't be selling rabbits until Easter is
I
over.
I just saw that. That is so good. Like,
yeah. Because, well, so many people get this idea, I'm going to buy my kid a rabbit for Easter because that'll be so cute. And then they don't know how much effort goes into
having a rabbit.
Exactly.
Yeah. So my best friend had a rabbit, and it was an Easter gift, and she didn't want it at a point in time, and her dad was like, no, you are keeping this pet, this is yours, you are taking care of it, and she kept it for 15 years, and now it's a cancer, but, like, that's okay, because she had it for 15 years.
Well, sad, but like good on her for keeping it.
Has anybody ever had to raise litters of their litters of pets before?
No.
Okay, I guess this is just a me story then. So I have had to raise, or help raise anyway, two separate litters of kittens in my lifetime.
And I feel like I wouldn't be able to give any of them away. Eventually, I would just be like, I want them all.
You're very right. Because we gave each of them a name different times. Like the first litter was when I was around 10 years old, and it was just a group of cats that showed up in our backyard, because that happens so frequently around my house. And we named the mother Duchess. One of them was named Milo, the other one was named Tiger, and I can't remember what the third one was named. And you grow attached to them. Unfortunately, one of them died, and then the other one had to be and then the other two had to be given away. And my grandmother took Duchess with her, and it's from Duchess that we got Pandora. And then when Pandora had her only litter of cats, she had four kittens, and we raised them all the way from when they were blind little things trying to find their mother's milk, and then we had to keep going and going and going until eventually they were starting to play music on the piano by accident.
Aww, that sounds adorable. Yeah.
It is adorable.
Was Duchess named after the cat and the Aristocats?
Yes, it was.
Lovely, I like it.
We named nearly all of our cats after some source material or other. Cute. So.
That's like, there was a point in my life where I would always have fish, which was a bad idea because I was terrible at keeping fish. I would either, like, overfeed them, and then, like, once they died, I'd be like, oh, I can't feed them that much. And then, like, the next round of fish I had, I would underfeed them. And then, like, after that, I'd be like, oh, I didn't feed them enough. And then it was just, like, a vicious cycle. But I remember at one point I had 9 fish, and I named them all after the members from the Fellowship of the Ring. It was fantastic. I love my little fishies. Pippin lasted the longest, but Frodo ate Sam, and it was a disaster.
Ouch. Wow. Oh, God.
That's a cut scene from the movie.
That's a scene. Subtext.
Oh, my God. Yeah. My Toby, he was named after Toby Keefe, the singer. Yeah, and usually I find with pets, we have so much trouble coming up with names. But it's like, well, with my cockatiel Pit, I named him after a video game character.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, but it's like, I actually, because when I got him, his original name was Chi, and I didn't know if I wanted to keep that or not. So I actually gave him a full name. His full name is Pit Chi Raptor Burridge. Because he sounds like when he squawks, he sounds like a raptor.
I love it. That's funny. Yeah, I find that when I was little, I used to put so much effort into naming things. Like, I used to like take a day to name a new stuffed animal, right? Like, I would be like, no, oh, you look like a Penelope, and then like a few hours later, no, you're definitely a Susan. Like,
Susan.
I just put so much effort into like naming my teddies and my stuff, and now that I'm older, I feel like I have just like I've never thought that names were such a big deal anymore. Like, I straight up, I looked at my bearded dragon, I was like, shark. You are a shark.
Well, it's like, I find it's like easier now because it's like they kind of grow into their names, I guess. Mm-hmm. And it's like, yeah, it's like you're kind of not sure at first, but then it's like you look at them and you're like, yeah, you're definitely like a Toby or something like that. You're definitely, they grow into their names.
Yeah. When I was younger, we were out of town at my aunt and uncle's, and this like stray dog came onto their property. And it was just this, like, tiny puppy, and we didn't know whose it was. And, like, me and my sister, we begged my parents if we could take it back to the city with us, and we named it Cuddles for the day.
Aww.
I was like, could you imagine if that dog had to live with that name its entire life?
Get picked on at the dog park.
Yeah, Cuddles.
Hey, Cuddles, want to go get the ball?
Yeah.
My neighbor has a cat, and it's an outside cat. Like, we see it all the time. It's always in our front yard. And, they have had this cat for 4 years now, and they still haven't come up with a name for it. Every time, like, we see him, it's, like, a new name. We're like, okay, what's the name today? And it's like, oh, it's Jackson. And then, like, I think now we exclusively just call it Kitty, just because it's like, I can't keep up. Like, this is Kitty. This is Orange Cat. This is actually my best friend's cat. His name is Orange Cat. We call him OC.
Cute. Yeah. Do you guys tend to give your pets nicknames?
Yeah, but sometimes they're not air appropriate.
Well, for example, I'll usually, we have, a bunch of nicknames for our dogs, and the funny thing is, they'll answer to them. Mm-hmm. And, Toby, for example, we call him Bumpy. We call him Toblerone. My dad calls him Slim Dog Millionaire. Yeah, and, Pumpkin, for example, I call her my little peanut. And she gets she gets so excited about it too. It's just really cute. Kingston, I've been calling him a nugget. Yeah, but it's just funny because they respond to them.
Yeah, so. That's my pets. Like I said before, I call my bearded dragon Shark. My mom calls her Maleficent or Millie, but her name is Shark. Okay, if any of you meet her, her name is Shark.
Yes, we've established this.
But my dogs, Serena, sometimes we call Bean. Bean. Aww. Or beanbag, just because it's hey, Bean. Sometimes I call Zoe stupid idiot, or things that aren't as nice that I can't say. But
dang it, you took my joke.
she's quite a piece of work. She's very similar to a cat in a lot of ways because it'll be 3 a.m. and she'll come and she'll paw your face. But it's a German Shepherd, and it hurts because it's you're sleeping, and then all of a sudden the German Shepherd is pawing you in the face, and it's oh my gosh, okay, I'm up. What do you want? And she either wants to play or go outside, and it's can you just sleep for 3 more hours? I will be up.
Yeah. Speaking of your dog acting like a cat, my cockatiel acts like a cat. They when I was doing research before I got them, people were cockatiels are so high maintenance, they need so much attention, da 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 da. But when I got Pit, he doesn't need that much attention at all. And it's he's very independent. I feel he's at his happiest when he's just sitting on me. And just not doing anything. He's fallen asleep on me a couple times. Aww. But it's he's just so much like a cat, and I'm just kind of what a sassy bugger.
What a sassy little friend.
Oh, he's so sassy. Cockatiels will usually bend their heads down when they want you to pet them. Mm-hmm. And everything. And so I'll scratch his neck a little bit, and then he bites me. Mm-hmm. And then I move my hand away, and then he comes over and he bends his head down again, hey, I didn't say stop.
That's funny. Yeah, Shark, she, it's hard to tell what she's feeling because, she's a lizard. She doesn't have ears that perk up or do anything, but the way you can tell is based on what color she is. So if she's darker, that means that she is not happy right now, right? It means that she, you have to think of it in a perspective of temperature, because they always want to be the right temperature. So
that's,
if they're
so neat.
If they're darker, it means they're too cold, and that makes them upset. So that she's in a good mood if she's a pale, kind of lighter color. And it's so funny because if she's dark and being kind of upset, sometimes she'll get really poofy in the neck. She'll puff out. Mm-hmm. And she'll be like, I'm a grumpy little lizard right now. That's my lizard voice.
I am turning into a dragon.
I am morphing.
I'm already there.
But I can, I just pick her up and I put her on my chest, and she just give it a couple minutes and she's back to pale and normal. So it's it's the little things with her, right? I can't just, take her on walks and do that.
That would be really confusing. Just walking down the lane with a really long leash, and it's just this little dinky lizard creature at the end of it.
I did that last summer. because she likes it outside. It's nice and warm, but she doesn't know to walk, on the sidewalk. So we kind of exclusively just stayed in my front yard, and I had a little I made her harness. I googled how to do it, a tutorial, and there was there's a felt part to it. I've got a lace up back ribbon so it's comfy for her. I put a lot of effort into this harness so we could go outside in the front yard, and she just loves it, right? Because it's the sun and it's so warm.
That's a clear indicator of how much you love it.
Yeah.
Because
you
are willing to go that far to make this different, weird apparatus which can allow you to be more active with it.
Yeah, and have you guys ever tried to put a lizard in a harness that you have to lace up at the back?
Nah. I'm probably going to try and get Pit a harness so I can take him outdoors with me.
Aww.
Yeah, but it's just so funny to look at because they're just so tiny, and just imagining them walking alongside like your dogs and stuff like that. Like, I just imagine people looking and being like, "What the heck?"
Oh yeah, you get a lot of weird looks. And there'll be kids who come by and they're like, "Is that a lizard? What?" And I'm like, "Well, it's not a dog. Like, what do you think?"
Just next time, yeah, it's my dog.
Yeah,
it's
man, like, you try to harness a cat and they will just kill you.
Yeah, what's that like? I've never had a cat.
I mean, it depends. For me, like my two of my cats like love going outside, so they know that like once this harness goes on, they're like going outside. So they don't mind it, but then there's one cat that she's like quite overweight. She doesn't actually like to go outside that much, so like putting a harness on her is a bit of a struggle. But I mean, whatever. If she doesn't want to go outside, she doesn't want to go outside. But yeah.
That's fun.
So I wanted to ask you guys, like, for my magazine article, I did it on Bark Lodge, which is a dog daycare that opened up back in November. And I was wanting to ask you guys, what do you think is, like, how the quality of care that we're putting into our pets is nowadays?
Well, I definitely think it's improved. I mean, I've never heard of a doggy daycare until somewhat recently. But, I mean, what a good business opportunity for people because, you know, pets are so important to people and they're, like, they're children practically.
I love
so
mine
like you
more
feel bad
children.
When you leave them at home all day while you're either working or at school or whatever. So I mean it's good for both people.
Yeah.
You know, they
plus,
get exercise.
Like, you get to be around dogs all day.
Yeah, they
like,
get to make new friends.
Yeah, like my friend, she's a groomer at PetSmart and she comes home and she'll like complain about her day or something, be like, "Oh yeah, it was busy," and I was like, "Hey, but it was busy with dogs."
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't busy with stacks of paperwork.
Yeah.
You got to be around dogs all day. And she's like, "Oh, well, yeah, if you put it that way."
Well, I imagine, like, in some cases it can be difficult, like, especially if you're dealing with, like, for example, like a huge Great Dane.
Yeah.
And everything, because they are hard to – some bigger dogs are definitely hard to handle. And sometimes, like – if they're not trained properly either. But it's like, yeah, that's understandable. It's like, yeah, you're like with dogs that like love you all day.
It's funny though, because like some of my friends, their dogs get put in like timeout. I think I mentioned this on one of the last episodes, but like, it's just so funny. Can you imagine a dog just being put in timeout? Like, go sit in the corner.
Yeah. Yeah. The Bark Lodge, they do that too. They have like a kennel area where the dogs go for timeout if they're getting like a little too rough.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is, it's good. That's a good thing because you don't want someone getting hurt.
Yeah, exactly.
But what would you do in that situation? Like, I wonder, like, obviously people have to sign the waivers, but like, that would be kind of one of the risks of like.
I think so. Yeah. Like, they have to take that into consideration.
Your dog can come here, but like, if there's another mean dog here, we're not held responsible
I think
for
so.
That.
Yeah. So that comes to the end of our first half of Adore Talks.
Ooh.
We will be right back with you after this content break.
Content break.
Diddle-a-loo, diddle-a-loo, diddle-a-loo.
Hi guys, it's Christina from Adore Talks. Today for our little break here, I went around and I talked to some people about their pets. We all love hearing little stories and fun little things about other people's pets, so I hope you guys enjoy. Okay, so what kind of pet do you have?
My dog is a border collie cross with a pointer. He's 4 years old.
Oh, that sounds so cute. What's their name?
Maverick.
That's cute. Can you tell me an interesting story about Maverick or a little fun fact about him?
They found Maverick. Manitoba Mutts had found Maverick in the woods. Apparently, he had been living there from the time he was born.
Oh, that's so sad.
So he was found with another dog in the woods.
Aw. And now he has a loving home with you, so that's
very
sweet.
Yeah.
Aww, okay. Thanks. Okay. What kind of dog do you have?
He's the Bichon Frise cross with Shih Tzu, I think.
Oh, that sounds really cute. What's his name?
His name is Mason.
Okay, can you tell me a little fun fact or a little story about Mason?
Fun fact? Oh, so he has like a really fluffy tail. And so when I leave the house, he goes downstairs into my room and like waits for me to come home. And I guess like I usually leave my hairbrush like on my futon in my room and that's where he lies down. So one day, like a couple weeks ago, I came home from school and he's like running up the stairs and it's just like this like clunk, clunk, clunk noise. And I'm just like, Mason, what's going on? And my hairbrush was stuck in his tail.
That's so cute. Did you manage to get it out okay?
Yeah, it came out fine, but he was, like, very confused, and he kept, like, looking at his butt, being like, what?
Thank you. Hi, do you have a pet?
Yeah, I have a little bitch.
Literally, she's a female dog. Her name is Sky.
Okay, what kind of dog is she?
She's a mini Australian Shepherd.
Okay, that sounds really cute. Could you tell me a little interesting fact or story about her?
Interesting fact is that she's stubborn as hell, and it's taken me 2 years to try and train her. She costs way too much money, but I love her, and her breed is very healthy and should live till they're 14.
Oh, that's great.
At least.
Yeah, that's really nice. Thank you. Hi, what kind of pet do you have?
I have a golden retriever.
What's his name?
Bruin, because he looks like a bear.
Aw, that's cute. Can you tell me a little fun fact or interesting story about him?
The first time I ever walked Bruin, I walked him to the end of my driveway, but he got tired so quickly that he fell down on all fours, like, literally, and I was accidentally dragged. I was like, what am I pulling? Then I turned around and it was him. Then I had to pick him up, and we walked back home, and it was like a 5-second walk.
Aw, he sounds very cute. Thank you very much.
All right, so do-do-do-do-do, and we are back. We are going to continue on with the recurring theme that is what we loved that happened since the last episode week thing. Ermajigger, Sky, take it away.
Uh-huh. Well, this is huge news for me. My podcast is on iTunes.
Ooh, congratulations.
Yeah, give yourself a shout out.
So this, my new podcast is entitled Adaptational. It's a discussion about the adaptation process and specifically looking at source materials that have not yet been made into movies or are potentially in the process of being made into movies. So in the last, over the last few months, I've been recording 6 episodes so far. Subjects have ranged from J.D. Salinger's Catcher in the Rye to Art Spiegelman's comic book Mouse to my most recent episode. Since we're on the subject of pets, I discussed Andrew Lloyd Webber's Cats, which is a personal favorite musical of mine. The next episode is going to be on the video game Shadow of the Colossus.
Yes! I love Shadow of the Colossus. I'm so excited.
And we have special guests as well. Harris Gale and Jackson McGilvery are going to be part of this discussion. So,
right on.
What about you, Christina?
Well, I didn't really... I've been really busy, so I didn't really do too much. But I've this weekend, something that I sat down and played some old video games that I adored in my childhood and just haven't played in a while. And it felt so good going back. And like these are games that I've played over and over again and I don't get bored.
Yeah.
And it's the Sly Cooper series.
Oh, yeah, I remember those.
Yeah, and like those ones are really fun. I've been playing the newest one, Thieves in Time, again.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I love it, but I'm still like weighing the pros and cons. I think like the previous three were better. But it's like, yeah, it's been great going back and like just having like such nostalgia for it. Oh, I love it.
Yeah. Well,
For me, since the last episode, I've had a little bit more free time than usual. So I was able to watch a couple movies that I've been meaning to watch. So I finally watched Jurassic World.
Oh my goodness, okay. What did you think?
Really well done. Ooh. And I also watched the new Jumanji movie.
Oh, that was really well. I loved that one.
I was quite impressed with those, actually. It doesn't compare to the classics, obviously, but...
they're
like,
both fun.
For
they're
a
both
newer
fun.
Movie, it's actually like quite well done. So.
Yeah, I've been on the fence on seeing the new Jumanji because I love the Robin Williams version so much, and I'm just like, will this ruin it for me?
No, it's so cool because they go into the game instead of the game coming like out
to
them.
Yeah, I was expecting them to sort of just like recreate the original, which they don't do, and I think that works really well for
that's
the movie.
Good. Yeah, like there's a whole new like plot line to it. Like,
absolutely.
It's so funny too. I remember the first time I watched that movie, it was on the couch, obviously, where else would it be? My mom fell asleep halfway through. Or no, we watched half of it, and then my brother came in. He's like, I haven't seen it yet, so we restarted it so he could watch it. And then my mom fell asleep, like, halfway through, like, once where we were before when we had to restart it. So I had already seen the movie, like, the first part of the movie twice. We watched the whole movie, and then my brother fell asleep, or he walked away for a bit, and he needed me to rewind it. So then, like, I saw the second part twice. And then the next day, my mom, she's like, I need to rewatch the movie. Like, I was asleep.
Yeah.
So I saw the movie three times in the span of, like, 2 days. Nice. And each time it got funnier and funnier. Like, it's just, it's a funny movie.
Yeah. Well, okay, that's good. Because I heard a lot of people were really worried about, like, them remaking it and kind of, like, burying Robin Williams' role.
You don't need to worry about that, honestly. Yeah. No. They're going in a completely different direction.
Okay,
with it.
Okay, that's good.
And, like, oh my goodness, Jack Black is so funny. Yeah. Like, his character, it is just, like, it's so amazing. Funny. Because when he says, like, oh no, I'm an overweight middle-aged man, it's funny because he's an overweight middle-aged man.
He is, Jack Black is, like, a really funny actor.
I love Jack Black. But, yeah, my thing this week is very small, actually. I found that I haven't been doing much lately because I'm so swamped. But yesterday I went out to go babysit for just someone. Mm-hmm. And it's, like, out of the city. It's far out of the city. And I was, like, dreading having to pay for gas because usually I am poor. But my stepdad, he gave me his Visa. And he's like, go fill up. Use the V-Power gas if you want. And I was like,
yes.
Whoa. So I drove, like, 45 minutes outside the city and 45 minutes back. And, like, my gas nozzle has hardly even moved because the gas is so good. And I didn't even pay for it.
Whoa.
So I'm quite happy about that.
I'm really happy so with sweet. That as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is very sweet.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, now that we're going into the second half of Adore Talks, we are now going to discuss IPPs.
IPPs! Sky.
Yes. So, Sky, this week, this episode, rather, you get to talk about your IPP. Tell us what it is.
I pray for my soul that I can explain it well.
Take your time. We have, like, minutes.
As you can tell, I love movies. I love to talk about movies. I love to make movies. I love to analyze movies. I go to every movie that I can in the theater, and I am obsessive over my Netflix account. So it only makes sense that my IPP would be an audio drama.
Nice.
This is something that I was not planning for ahead of time because I was originally thinking of doing a script, but that's really hard to market. But instead, I'm going to be doing a completely different project from what I'm used to, but still something in the vein of a creative story. So my audio drama is called Echo. It's the story of a blind man who gets trapped inside of a large cave. He's been abandoned there for reasons that are unclear at first, but he is essentially considered bad luck in his community. But his only aid is a rock creature. He can't see it because he's blind and also because it's incredibly dark. But it's
mostly the blind thing.
Mostly the blind. but the rock creature is his only companion. It's lived there for thousands of years in near solitude, and it's grown so tired of human society. It has been so reclusive and so disinterested in human interaction that it frightens everyone away. It's a sort of folkloric creature that takes away children from what the community understands. But this creature, because the blind man poses no threat to him, decides to help the blind man escape the cave, despite him being so far away from the distant surface for so very, very long. And it's a 10-episode series where I'm going to be going into a lot of different detail and mostly establishing the connection between the two main characters is the main thing that matters. It's very much in the style of Guillermo del Toro's work, who I've obsessed over. But it's more sad to a great extent, I think. There's a lot more tragedy to the character. I feel, especially the rock creature.
I'm very interested to see this when, hear this when you're done with it.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like a really interesting story. So you said you were, like, inspired by Guillermo del Toro?
Yeah, Guillermo del Toro was the filmmaker behind Pan's Labyrinth. He just won Best Director and Best Picture for The Shape of Water.
Shape of Water was super good.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And his style is very much trying to make you feel for outcasts to a great extent. His main characters are always kind of reclusive individuals, or they're subjugated individuals who are trying to make their way in a world that doesn't make sense. That's why he often uses children in his stories as well. And the reason why I went with the blind man to some extent in this case was not just the inability to understand how things look, but simply the feeling of not knowing anything about the world around you.
Yeah,
you have to rely on your senses and what you hear and what you feel in order to get a sense of that aura that you're trying to experience.
Mm-hmm. It also, like, really kind of helps you out because it's an audio drama, right? No one's going to be looking at anything. So it almost kind of puts them in the position of this blind man because they can't see anything either.
That was my main interest, basically.
That's really cool. Smart, that's really creative. Yeah. I'm really interested.
It's probably going to be an expensive venture. Like, I'm trying to cut down on the budget at this point, but at this point I'm looking at a Kickstarter campaign or a fundraiser sometime in September this year.
Are you worried that's going to cost so much?
I don't know. I just wanted to be as professional as possible. Like, if I'm going to be hiring actors or maybe an actor, because I could play one character and they could play the other one. I'm not sure which one's going to be which at this point, but I just want this to be the best quality that it can be.
Also,
I want merchandise and I want to be at Comic Cons and stuff like that promoting the thing. So
that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I'm very impressed. I will be really excited to listen to this.
I
can offer voice acting services.
Christina is like the best voice actor I know.
I will look into that for sure.
That's really cool. I'm audio dramas are a very good medium, especially like since you're taking like since it is about a blind man and everything. That's a really good way to do it than just like a film.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's also such a creative idea. Like, it's not just your typical, I'm gonna do a murder mystery podcast. Ooh,
spooky.
That hasn't been done before, but like that's something you definitely haven't seen before. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, no, yeah. Or heard before.
Yeah. Well, I guess for ideas for like fundraising and stuff, you could always do like, I was thinking for mine specifically, I was gonna do like bake sales and stuff too.
Yeah,
that could be like a way to help.
Maybe that could help.
Many
yeah,
bake sales next semester. Because
there's gonna be
cookies.
So many bake sales. There's gonna be so many. Please give me money.
Yeah. I need to think of some creative fundraisers too, because I'm writing a book, as you guys know, and I just realized that even though it's a poetry book, I still have to pay for an editor.
That's true.
You know, I didn't think you'd have to, because poems aren't that long, and I can spot any spelling mistakes, and like I'm sure if I get like 2 or 3 Cree-com pals to read them, it'll be fine, but apparently it won't be fine. So I'm gonna be out a couple $100 for that. It's gonna be fantastic.
So like, are you looking at getting some like professional equipment too to do this, or are you gonna use the stuff here?
I'm hoping to get professional equipment, but if I can't, then this place is perfectly suitable, to be perfectly honest. It could actually work just for recording conversations, because it is a two-person drama for the most part, basically.
Yeah.
How many episodes are you planning?
10.
Ooh, nice.
Wow.
I'm impressed.
How often are you going to produce them?
Bi-weekly.
Ooh, that's such a good amount of time.
Mm-hmm. That's the plan anyway.
Are you excited to do it?
I am. I'm nervous that it might be too ambitious and they might ask me to go back to the drawing board, but I really want this to be a thing because it's different from everything that I'm used to. Like, audio dramas that I listen to, Welcome to Night Vale and the Alice Isn't Dead, anything from that studio, basically, they're great. They're great podcasts and so forth, but they're such a specific genre. They're either comedies or they're horror or they're a combination of both. Mm-hmm. And we need more dramatic storytelling, yeah. I feel like, or visceral storytelling.
Yeah, I feel like quite a few people go with horror for audio dramas because you can do so much with sound.
You
yeah.
can.
You yeah. really can.
Yeah, like I've heard of like, there's a video game I've been looking up and they purposely for some of the scenes, it's a horror game, for some of the scenes, all you see is a black screen and text and they use like some kind of 3D sound to make it feel like you're actually there when you're listening with headphones.
Yeah.
So it's like, that's probably why a lot of people do it because you can create like a creepy atmosphere. So it's like if you hear a sound in your headphones, you're like, what the heck? Yeah. Like, to look behind you. Oh, my God.
It's like my, I'm not a big video game person. I get really motion sick when I play, but I like to watch my dad play, and he just started playing this game. I wish I could tell you guys what it was called. It's like, it's got a girl. She's got blue face paint on, and she has to...
Oh, I've heard about this one. And like, Hellblade or something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah. Something like that. So she, but it starts, and basically this girl has, she carries some oracle thing, I guess, and like she hears people talk, but it opens and like there are so many voices that like happen at once, and like that's how it is throughout the entire game. It's like just so many voices in her head at the same time, like just talking, and it's like stuff like, don't go over there, they're gonna kill you, don't go over there, but it's like 14 million voices doing that at the same time.
That
and it's like I was like, I can't do this. This is so scary. Like,
it's kind of a commentary on schizophrenia in that
yeah,
case,
I
think,
I felt
is the
like
idea
that too.
So yeah, I've been meaning to play that, but I can't find it anywhere, so.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
But yeah, there's lots you can do with sound.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Like, makes you feel like you're actually, like, in the room and stuff like that. Like, the one that we were shown, the Wolverine.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, yeah. That was very impressive. I was very impressed by that. And then we only listened to, like,
5 minutes
of it.
Yeah.
And it's like, I really want to check out the rest of the episodes to see what they do.
It's going to be, that one's going to be on iTunes like in November, but I think that you can still catch the two episodes online on Stitcher, I believe.
Yeah, so. that's what I've heard too, but don't you have to like do a free trial or something?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, that's not too bad.
For two episodes, I'll listen.
yeah, exactly. Yeah, it was really good. Yeah. So next week, our next episode will unfortunately be our final episode. And who the content this time around will be going to
me.
Sky. So maybe could you give us a little teaser about what you're going to be talking about for our episode?
Well, because I'll be going back to my film roots again, because it will be an opportunity for us to talk about filmmaking, and specifically like films that mean a lot to us as individuals, but also films that mattered a lot to Winnipeg to a great extent.
Oh,
because local filmmaking has been having a huge surge lately, because we've had films starring Keanu Reeves and Kristen Stewart and different productions that have been coming here and sort of becoming huge talked about films in recent years. And I've been meaning to talk about this for a while now. But, yeah, it's just because my subject for my article is a Winnipeg filmmaker who has just finished making a finished production and is now in the editing process of making her own film, and is now moving on to making films even in New York.
Cool.
So local talent is becoming really important right now for Winnipeg culture to a great extent.
Cool. Wow. That sounds really great.
Yeah, I'm excited.
I'm really excited to talk about film. That'll be great.
That'll be good.
But now we are coming towards the end of our third episode.
No.
Does anyone have any last words?
I love you guys.
Yeah. Wow, it'd be nice to like have something back and
well,
not just be left.
Love you too, Amy.
Thanks.
Thanks for listening, guys. Hug your pets.
Hug your pets.
See you next week. Bye-bye. Yeah, this was Adore Talks. Have a good day.
Stay strong.